Let's get right to the phone lines and welcome our TSN Hockey Insider, Dave Poulin. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Always excellent on a Friday. I love Simber's answer right there. It's always excellent on a Friday. And, you know, when you need a little pickup at the end of the month, the NHL schedule will deliver it. Because for me, you know, I principally cover four teams. And when they're all playing each other at the end of the month, it's just perfect for me. It's great because you measure each individually when you're doing their games. And, you know, I do a lot of Montreal and Ottawa and Winnipeg and Toronto, and all in different capacities, studio, color, and different. I get different views on them. I look at them in different ways. But when I see them head to head, it's really fun for me. So you've got Ottawa and Toronto tonight, and then a couple of Ottawa and Montreal stand off the month. This is perfect for me, guys.
And you saw Montreal twice this week, including last night, a pretty exciting game with the Detroit Red Wings. They end up losing in overtime, but Montreal led by the all-Laval line last night. Are they getting maybe a little more production and a little better play than maybe we all had suspected, given how many players they have out with injury right now?
There's no question about it, JR. And they've been good for three or four games now. And, you know, it's an interesting mix and makeup. Pezzetta has played the most in the NHL. The other night they were at exactly 100 games between the three of them. 79 of those were Michael Pezzetta. And then Alex Belzeal is a 31-year-old, undrafted, 5 years in the ECHL, 5 years in the American League before he saw the NHL. And then Raphael Harvey-Pinard is a really interesting one because I think he's a long-term situation in terms of a fourth-line role player, big-time speed, and really energize the group. And so it's an interesting use of 11 and 7, 11 forwards and 7 D. But what they've done is they've basically gone 8 and 3. So their top 8, they rotate through, and then the fourth line, they leave as a fourth line. So usually in this case, you know, there's two guys on that fourth line. They don't get much ice, and it's very different. And they've used that fourth line in an energy role. They've rotated and feeling that their top eight can help each other better off. And so Dvorak and Dadonov are the de facto third line, and they get one of the top six to play with. It's an interesting use of the players. I think it's creative, and it sort of gives that line a de facto identity. And when they go out, they've executed. But to score three goals last night, one shorty and, you know, and a couple of really good goals on one on a forecheck, one on a rush play, that's just a bonus, I think, for Martin Saint-Louis, but something you need. And, you know, when you get that opportunity as a fourth line player, they're putting them in a perfect situation to succeed at what they do.
Two-thirds of the way through the season, Pooley, kind of give us a little state of where Detroit's program's at.
I think maybe a little behind where they were hoping, and yet, you know, they're kind of hanging around. And, you know, are they it looks like Buffalo has now elevated. We talk about the group of four in the bottom of the Atlantic Division. It appears that Buffalo is saying something differently. But Detroit was a team that I thought could potentially be above the group. And I say that, and it was sort of an interesting move, quiet moves by C.D. Eiserman over the summer to bring in a David Perron, to bring in an Andrew Kopp, you know, pretty good players and a little bit older. And I think that the sneaky trade was Ville Husso. He got him for a third rounder, and that's a pretty good pickup. He had a terrific record last year in St. Louis, but they wanted to reestablish Binnington in St. Louis. And so he was able, and that was a July, you know, early July, maybe 8th trade that he was able to move. So I think they thought they were going to accelerate a little bit more. But that being said, guys, we were looking last night, and they've got a host of UFAs on this hockey team. And, you know, there's five forwards and another four defensemen and a goaltender. He can clean 10 contracts off of there if he chooses to do so. Now, a couple of those players are Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi, you know, who are 26 and 27-year-olds who you're assuming he wants to sign, but if they price themselves out of the market, who knows? And Steve Yzerman can reshape this entire group and put them with some of his young stars in a hurry if he so chooses.
I'm always interested in how the 2020 top end of the draft guys do. You got a chance to see Lucas Raymond last night, who had a really good rookie year. This year, at least numbers-wise, he's fallen back a little bit. What's your assessment of his play and what you saw last night?
I still see growth there. I really like this player. I think he's smart. He's playing. Now, they haven't had Bertuzzi, and that's part of the numbers situation. I believe that was his 16th game last night. And when he's with Larkin and Raymond, they're very effective. I mean, Bertuzzi's an agitator, but he shoots the puck every time he touches it. And so they know the puck's going to the net. But I like Raymond's game. When we watched him, he was playing with that Alex Holtz that was a first-rounder as well. They went to Jersey, and they played for that Frölunda, that powerhouse team in Göteborg in Sweden. And so I saw a lot of him when he was young. I really like him. He's smart. He's kind of a combo platter in that his willingness to shoot the puck is there as well. A little more of a goal scorer than some of the young guys are. But I think that player, I'm not sure, JR, that they have that star forward. You know, when you think of Yzerman trying to recreate Tampa, well, he had Kucherov and Stamkos and Point up front. I don't think he's got that player yet. Raymond may be the closest. I don't see Larkin. I see Larkin as a two. I don't see Larkin as a first-line player. And I think that's why he's not signed, and that's why they're still battling, you know, to see where that UFA goes. But I like Lucas Raymond. I think he's a smart player.
Can Sider turn into, not necessarily Hedman, but kind of in that range as your true number one?
He can. And the other kid they have coming, Simmers, the 21-year-old Simon Edmondson, the big 6'6", who looks more like Hedman. I think Sider can be like Hedman. And it took Hedman a little while, too. You know, he's a big guy. He's got a mean edge to him that I really like. And so I think they're going to have two shots at a top pairing guy in Sider first and then Edmondson slightly behind.
You mentioned you keep your eye on four teams in particular because you end up doing a lot of their games. And then you've also mentioned Buffalo so far during this. Buffalo went into Winnipeg last night and beat the Jets 3-2. They've won five games in a row. And can the Buffalo Sabres make the playoffs, Dave?
I think they can. And, I think the more I see them play, I mean, they're coming together pretty well. And you know, they did a good job of reshaping that roster and with players who want to be in Buffalo. And that's an important factor for them, I think. I think Alex Tuck is from Rochester, so he's an upper state New York guy, Tage Thompson. So some of the deals that they've made for some of their star players, Tage Thompson is, back to Ryan O'Reilly deal, and he's so come into his own. But the makeup of their team, now they've got, we talked about Detroit and a couple of defensemen. You know, Owen Power has now scored in three straight games. You're not looking at him as a scorer. But, you know, they've got potentially two number top pairing guys, and he and Rasmus Dahlin, who's really come into his own. And, you know, we forget, but that's still a young player. But I think they do, and they've got some, you know, if you're looking for a support defenseman, Big Samuelson, Matthias Samuelson, Shel Samuelson's son, he was out early in the year. When they went through their losing stretch, he was out. And I talked to Donnie Granato about it, and he said he's such an important partner for whomever he's playing with. He was a big, hard guy to play against. And eyebrows went up when he signed a longer-term deal because he hadn't scored a goal in the NHL. That's not what he does. He fills space. He creates, you know, space for his partner, and he defends very well. And so I think they can sneak in there. Now, whose expense is that going to be at? Right now, you would say Pittsburgh or Washington, but I think Buffalo's going to be there. Florida's chomping at their heels right now, too. But I think it will be between Florida and Buffalo if someone pushes up into that top grouping.
I watched a lot of that game, Pool, and they dominated. Was that catching Winnipeg coming off of the road a little bit flat, or is that just a test of how good Buffalo is?
I think it's a little bit of both, Simmer. I think they, you know, when you get back after five road games, as Winnipeg had, and they had a disappointing end to it, they played really well in Nashville and lost that game 2-1. And so I think you get home for that first game. And is that an excuse? Is that an old, you know, a back-to-back excuse, a off a road trip excuse, a first game of the road trip excuse? The good teams seem to find ways to eliminate those excuses, Simmer, and you know, and you don't want to hear it, but I think it's a real thing.
We've talked so much this year, Dave, about Ottawa getting behind the eight ball in terms of the losing streak at the beginning of the season, how hard it is to make up ground. There were eight games in the NHL last night, or eight or nine, whatever it was. I opened up my app at one point to check out the scores. Eight of the nine games, they were all underway, only two in the first, the other were well into the game. Eight of the nine were tied. Only the Buffalo-Winnipeg game, actually, one team had a lead. Just to speak to how close the league is, we had numerous games going to overtime and shootouts last night. Like, it's crazy how much have... I'll ask you this, and it's an anecdotal answer on your part, but, I mean, have you ever seen the game, the league, as close as it is this year?
No, I think that's a fair statement. I really do, and I think it's because, you know, some of the teams, if you look at, you know, just in the Atlantic Division, if you look at Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, and Montreal, I think those four clubs are all on the rise. And you might say Montreal's not quite there yet, but they're hard to play against. Montreal just in the last 2 weeks beat New York Rangers in New York, beat Winnipeg, beat the Leafs. So you can't say, you know, that they're not a hard team to play against. And they played very well against Detroit last night. Now, to your point, JR, when you're working and you're looking at those scores, it's a distraction, okay? Because I flip them on during commercials. And then you see, you know, thankfully these games were over. They were all a little bit later. But you see Chicago hammering the Flames 5-1, the Ducks beating the Avs, which I was able to watch the end of, and Coyotes shutting out the Blues 5-0. Yeah. So it's not only that they're close. I mean, if anybody had Chicago, Ducks, and Coyotes winning last night as a group, they're a much smarter man than me because I just don't see that. So now if you're the Flames, Avs, and Blues, you know, the Avs looked like they were coming. I think they won 6 in a row going into last night against the Ducks, and they managed to lose to Anaheim. That was at home. And so I think there's a lot of hockey left to be played. I look at this little window here, and, you know, I always segment this season, and there's two or three games left before the All-Star break. And then a three-week period before the trade deadline when I think we're going to see some great, great hockey.
Awesome. Okay, Ridly Greig made his debut for the Sens on Wednesday night, and we spent lots of time talking about him and his game, and I know it is only one game, and tonight will be different on the road and in Toronto, but what did you think of the Sens rookie for game one?
Everything was positive for me. I think he energized Claude Giroux and Alex DeBrincat, and I think he energized the team. There's an excitement. I never, ever lost this in my 12-plus years of being in a locker room when a player plays his first NHL game. And, you know, and your games blur together, guys. They just do. And you know, you play a few hundred, whatever you play, and I was 725. They have to blur together. There's too many of them not to. But some things stand out, and players' first games stand out to me to this day. And I can recall some of the guys that I played with and watching them. And I would sit quietly in the locker room, and I'd have one eye on them and just watch their motions and watch. And you would see there'd be at various points of disbelief, comfort, angst, you know, all these different things when you're watching a player play his first game. And I think that energy is contagious. I really do. Particularly when you think, and this is selfish on everybody's part, that he can help you. And I think there's a feeling, and there was a feeling going in, that Ridly Greig was going to be a player that could help because of them. He's a little bit of a hybrid in today's game. Number one, he loves contact, and that's rare. And even the confidence to shoot the puck as much as he did on his first night, playing with a veteran that he was playing with in Giroux and the established goal scorer he was playing with in DeBrincat, all positive for me, all positive. And, you know, yes, he'll have some work to do in the faceoff circle, and Claude Giroux will be a help there. But I think overall, you look at it as a snapshot and say, you know, this is a player that the Ottawa Senators are going to be able to count on moving forward.
You also expect him to be in the middle of it in rivalry games against Toronto and Montreal?
I think he's relishing this weekend more than you and I are, Simmer. I really do. I mean, you know, from his standpoint. Now, he's had a taste of it. This is the beauty of the way the minors are constructed more and more now, where, you know, he probably already dislikes Toronto nicely because of his games against the Marlies. And he dislikes Lavelle even more because of his games, or Montreal because of his games against Lavelle. So it's already started. You think about, he's going into these games against Montreal on Saturday and Monday and looking at, you know, Harvey Pinard and Belzile and Bezette and say, wait a second, I've seen these guys before. So I think it's all good.
All right. Dog Day's a winner. Good to have a couple of rivalry games this weekend for Ottawa. Toronto tonight and Montreal tomorrow. You'll be watching as well. Enjoy it. Look forward to it. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Enjoy the hockey, gentlemen.